Our scripture reading today is taken from Joshua chapter 10, verses 1 to 15. Joshua chapter 10, verses 1 to 15. As soon as Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had captured Ai and had devoted it to destruction, doing to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, he feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were warriors. So Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hohem, king of Hebron, to Peram, king of Jarmuth, to Japhia, king of Lachish, and to Debir, king of Eglon, saying, "Come up to me and help me, and let us strike Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the people of Israel." Then the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered their forces and went up with all their armies and encamped against Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp in Gilgal, saying, "Do not relax your hand from your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the hill country are gathered against us." So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you." So Joshua came upon them suddenly, having marched up all night from Gilgal, and the Lord threw them into a panic before Israel, who struck them with a great blow at Gibeon and chased them by the way of the ascent of Beth Horon and struck them as far as Azekah and Makedah. And as they fled before Israel, while they were going down the ascent of Beth Horon, the Lord threw down large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died because of the hailstones than the sons of Israel killed with the sword. At that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Aijalon." And the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jashar? The sun stopped in the midst of heaven and did not hurry to set for about a day. There has been no day like it before or since, when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Now, good morning, church. My name is Jordan. I'm one of the pastors of the church. This morning, we continue in our series on the book of Joshua. So last Sunday, Reverend Jackson exhorted us on the need of having the right devotion in our lives, the need to keep ourselves devoted to God. This morning, my sermon passage is taken from Joshua chapter 10, verses 1 to 15, as read earlier. I think it is an extraordinary passage with extraordinary lessons for the hearers then, and for us today. Before I continue, let us pray. Lord, as we come this morning to listen to your word, guard our hearts, our mind, and our souls. Let your word dwell and take root in us. Scatter what is not from you, so that we continue to grow in faith and maturity in knowledge of who you are. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I have shared quite often that my most prayerful moments in life so far, I think, has been my time during national service. You know, I was stuck in this vocation where I felt I was really suffering. You know, I felt things were not going well. Physically, I was tired every day. Even on my so-called off days, I was at home sleeping. And for a period of time, I was not coming to church at all. Even if I was so-called free on Sunday, I would spend my time sleeping. Mentally, I felt drained, discouraged because of the training, the demands of the vocation. Now, I was not a commando, I was not in the special forces, so the training might not seem as tough as what they go through. But I think each one of us go through different things in different ways. Each one of us has a different capacity to handle stress, to handle negative moments of life. Perhaps sleeping was my way of coping with all the negativity I felt at that point of time. You know, things took a turn for the better when I really started to pray again. I was motivated to pray after reading a fictional Christian novel, you know, about spiritual warfare, about prayer. You know, the book imagined how the angels would move, how the angels would act when believers prayed, how the battles against the enemies would turn when prayers were made by the saints. And it made me pray more. Of course, my vocation, my duty, gave me quite a lot of time to be alone, standing, so I prayed a lot. You know, it made me want to pray, and after a while, it made me want to pray bold prayers. You know, I prayed and asked God to take me out of the situation, out of the suffering that I was in. I prayed that I would be able to go to church and that I would be able to commit to God. And I prayed for months. But of course, in the midst of it, I would also question myself. Was I sincere in my prayers? You know, was I trying to bargain with God? Were my prayers an attempt to manipulate God? Because to me, at that point of time, it was an extraordinary prayer. And I think God answered in an extraordinary way. When was the last time you prayed and asked God boldly to act? What was the last extraordinary prayer you made? When was the last time you asked God boldly to act? What was the last extraordinary prayer you made? You know, in Joshua 10, we see one of the most extraordinary, amazing, and bold prayer in the Bible. You know, it's short, it's specific, and I think it's full of faith and trust that the Lord would answer. Now, before we get to that, let me give you a bit of background to this battle in Joshua 10. So after Achan, if you prefer, was punished for his transgression, you know, we see that Israel was granted victory over Ai under the command of the Lord. Joshua chapter 8, verse 24. It says that when Israel had finished killing all the inhabitants of Ai in the open wilderness, where they pursued them, and all of them to the very last had fallen by the edge of the sword, or Israel returned to Ai and struck it down with the edge of the sword. You know, the victory over Ai was complete, and the city was made a heap of ruins. In our sermon series, we skip over chapter 8 and chapter 9, so this is something that you can read on your own. So the victory over Ai and Jericho struck fear in the hearts of the kings of Canaan. Joshua chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. As soon as all the kings who were beyond the Jordan in the hill country and in the lowland, all along the coast of the Great Sea towards Lebanon, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites heard of this, they gathered together as one to fight against Joshua and Israel. But the people of Gibeon, they did not attempt to fight Israel. Instead, they acted with cunning and they tricked Joshua and the men of Israel into making a peace covenant with them. But the problem here is that Joshua and the leaders of Israel failed to consult the Lord. You know, Joshua 9 verse 14, the men took some of the provisions that the Gibeonites brought and then they did not ask counsel from the Lord. If you know the history, you know, the Israel, as they move into the promised land, they were supposed to destroy all the inhabitants, Gibeon included. And they were not supposed to make any treaty with them, to have peace with them. Joshua and Israel would have known if they had consulted the Lord. You know, when Israel eventually found out, you know, they had no choice but to honor the covenant because they had sworn to the Gibeonites by the Lord, by the God of Israel. Yet because of their deceit, the leaders of Israel made the Gibeonites servants, woodcutters and water carriers. And then we come to Joshua chapter 10, which is, and my first point is, to know that we can trust God in battles for his purpose. We can trust God in battles for his purpose. You know, in contrast to Gibeon's surrender to the Israelites, you know, the king of Jerusalem, Adoni-Zedek, he decided to form an alliance against Israel. He knew that Gibeon was a great city, you know, stronger, greater than Ai, and even Jerusalem. So he called four other Amorite kings to attack Gibeon before it became like a gateway, a base for Israel to begin their southern conquest. And so the men of Gibeon sent messengers to Joshua asking for help. You know, do not relax your hand from your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the hill country are gathered against us. You know, their call for help reveals their urgency and desperation. We are your servants. You know, they voice out again that we are your servants. The submission to Israel. Come quickly, save us, help us. You know, I think they even included a little exaggeration. You know, they say all the kings of the Amorites. You know, it was not all the kings, it was five of them. Still, it was quite a lot. But Joshua and Israel had this covenant to keep, this treaty that they have with the Gibeonites. And so they had to go. They had to help them. And they responded quickly. Excuse me. Verses 7 to 9, Joshua 10. So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you. So Joshua came upon them quickly, having marched up all night from Gilgal. Now Joshua's response was really quick. He responded quickly to this call for help. He gathered all the people of war and the mighty men. And it seems to me from the text that the Lord actually finally speaks to Joshua along the way, you know, giving the assurance, do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you. You know, this is the assurance Joshua and the Israelites needed. The Lord had been silent for a while to them, and they were now marching to help an ally whom they did not consult God about. Perhaps Joshua even felt that he was forced into this battle, you know, because he had foolishly entered into this covenant with Gibeon. Perhaps Joshua feared that it was a mistake, and going into this battle, they would suffer defeat like at Ai. But God's assurance granted them the strength and the desire to make that all-night march from Gilgal to Gibeon. One night. You know, in Joshua chapter 9, verse 17, we can read that the people of Israel took 3 days to get from Gilgal to Gibeon when they were going to confront them about their deceit. They took 3 days. Now, they made the entire journey in one night. You know, on the map, it is about 24 kilometers in a straight line. But of course, they did not travel in a straight line on level ground, but instead, you know, there are hills and wilderness. Anyway, after that long road march, Joshua came upon the Amorites' kings, suddenly, unexpectedly. Now, the Amorites' king must have known that Joshua and Israel would come and help their ally. But what they might not have expected is that Joshua would take an overnight march, and they will appear over them so quickly. Now, while this battle appears to be initiated by the Amorite kings, and Joshua was helping a deceitful ally, this battle was still well within God's purpose for Israel. God's purpose is that Israel will take the promised land, and Israel will destroy the inhabitants of the land. Now, the lesson here is that Joshua and Israel can trust God in the battles for God's purpose. In battles that is according to God's purpose, God will be there, God will be present. Now, of course, failure to obey and keep to God's purpose will result in punishment and defeat, as we have heard in the previous sermons. Now, our battles today take a different form. You know, we don't fight physical battles. We don't go around conquering land and cities. We don't have enemies that the Lord have devoted to destructions. But Ephesians 6 verse 12 reminds us, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Our battle today is a battle to glorify God with our lives. Our battle today is against the spiritual forces of evil. Our battle today is keeping ourselves holy. Our battle today is in setting ourselves apart for the Lord. You know, we were created for God's glory. We were created to glorify God with our lives. That we can read easily from the Bible. Our purpose is to glorify God. And in our battles to glorify God with our lives, we can trust God in such battles. As we fight, as we battle for purity, as we battle for holiness, know that God is there. We can trust God in such battles because He fights on our behalf for His purpose. Very quickly to the second point. You know, God fights on our behalf for His purpose. You know, it is amazing when I look at the text and see how God is the one who actually wins the battle. You know, true to His promise, God gave the Amorite kings and their forces into the hand of Joshua and Israel. Verse 10 onwards, and the Lord threw them into a panic before Israel, who struck them with a great blow at Gibeon and chased them. You know, then as they fled, the Lord threw down large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died because of the hailstones than the sons of Israel killed with the sword. Now, we have no details on the number of soldiers and fighting men on either side. You know, judging from the passage, you know, the five Amorite kings must have forces that were greater than the Gibeonites, you know, which resulted into their desperate call for help. You know, five cities against one. So it should be a big advantage for the Amorite kings. But here, the passage focus remains on God. Now, the focus remains on God. Even though Joshua is mentioned as coming upon the five Amorites kings suddenly, it is the Lord who threw them into a panic. It is God who threw them into a panic. You know, Deuteronomy 7, you know, the Lord's command is given to the Israelites, telling them about the promised land and how they will take possession of it. And then the people are given instructions, given assurance. Then in verse 23, as the Lord assures the people of His power, you know, we read, but the Lord your God will give them over to you and throw them into confusion until they are destroyed. The Lord your God will give them over to you and throw them into confusion, will throw them into panic. So the Lord causes the panic, allowing Israel to gain this great victory at Gibeon, you know, before they chased the enemies down the ascent of Beth Horon. And as the Amorites were running, the hailstones rained down on them. I think we can observe two things in this victory here. You know, one, we observe that while God is doing amazing things here, the Israelites are also responsible to fight. The Israelites are called to participate in the battle, whether it is at the River Jordan or at Jericho. You know, God could have just caused the waters to stop and the walls of Jericho to fall. But no, God called out to the people. He called the people to participate. You know, have the priests carry the ark and step into the river. March around Jericho 7 times, 7 days. You know, God always calls His people to participate. And God calls you, God calls us to participate in the spiritual battles for His purpose. Again, Ephesians chapter 6, you know, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And in the same passage, we are called to put on the whole armor of God and praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We are to continue praying. We are to keep praying, to pray without ceasing. to participate in the spiritual battle with our prayers. We participate in this spiritual battle with our prayers. The Israelites participated in that battle with their swords. And two, we can observe that even though the Israelites are called to fight, it is the Lord who ensured the victory. God is the source. God is the reason for victory. Now, there were more who died because of the hailstones than the sons of Israel killed with the sword. You know, as you and I, as we engage in spiritual battles, know that God fights on our behalf for His purpose. God fights on our behalf for His purpose. He is the primary source, the key to our victory. He is the one in control. Now, the Israelites were not in control. We are not in control. God is the reason for victory in this passage and in every other battle we see in the book of Joshua. And in every battle in our lives, God is the reason for victory. It will never be because of our strength or what we do. And church, I think we should be encouraged by that knowledge. God calls us to participate in every spiritual battle for His purpose. And in every battle, know that God is the reason for our victory. We are invited to participate, but we are actually not necessary for that victory. God doesn't need us to win. He wins it for us. But we can be encouraged because God wants us to participate in this sure victory with Him. But I think many of us will struggle with moving from this as head knowledge to application. How do I apply this to my life? How do I pray? How do I live knowing that God fights for me? How do I pray knowing that God fights this battle for me? We struggle in our battles to glorify God. We struggle to be holy. We struggle to fulfill God's purpose for us. But brothers and sisters, take heart. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So go. Call out to the Lord. Pray. Ask. Make your request to the Lord and know that He fights on your behalf. He fights on our behalf. Know that as you pray, as you struggle, you ask God for strength in this battle for holiness, God is there. God is with you. In verse 12, Joshua makes one of the most extraordinary prayers in the Bible. And God responded. Because God responds to extraordinary prayers for His purpose. At that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still at Gibeon and moon in the valley of Aijalon." Joshua spoke to the Lord. Joshua prayed. Joshua asked of the Lord to stop the sun and the moon from moving. And the Lord answered. The sun stood still, the moon stopped, until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Wow. Now, did it really happen? Did the sun stop? No, the truth is the sun does not move. You know, today we know that the earth orbits, you know, rotates around the sun. You know, it's not the other way around. You know, the sun doesn't move around the earth. So in order for us to actually see the sun stop in the sky, the earth would have to stop its rotation and its orbit. Then you would see that the sun is not moving. But you know what happens if the earth stopped? If the earth actually stops, anything that's not attached, that's not anchored deep into the ground. I'm not talking about, you know, a tree level foundation, like the church, how the church is anchored to the ground, but really, really deep into the ground. If anything that's not anchored deep would actually fly off into the atmosphere, you know, you and I, the trees, the buildings would be swept away. It will fly out into space. So scientists, you know, atheists, even theologians have tried for many years to explain what happened. But really no one knows. No one can know what happened that day and how it happened. But what we as Bible-believing Christians, you know, as we read this historical narrative, what we know is that the Lord, the maker of heavens and earth, in his mysterious, powerful way, made it happen. If you can believe the Genesis account that God created the heavens and the earth, then you should be able to believe that God somehow stopped the sun and the moon. He made the day longer because he can. God stopped the sun and the moon because he can. And so Joshua, in the midst of the battle, in front of the Israelites, in front of the enemies, Joshua calls out, he prays. You know, he asks for the impossible. You know, in full faith and trust that God will answer. And God answered. God answered because it is his purpose that Israel will destroy the inhabitants of Canaan and take the promised land. It is God's purpose that Israel will have the victory he promised. God can and God will respond to extraordinary prayers of faith for his purpose. I think here's where we can take three lessons from Joshua's prayer. First, you know, ask within God's will and purpose. Ask within God's will and purpose. Joshua's prayer is for the Lord. It's for the Lord's purpose. It is not for his pleasure. It is not for his desire. It is not a prayer of selfish desire, but it is one that is aimed at pleasing God and fulfilling God's purpose. It is not claiming and demanding that God bless us and, you know, grant us health and wealth, but it is a prayer of faith. And in this context, Joshua knew exactly what God's purpose was. For us, for him, it is a prayer of faith, knowing that God is Lord and he will bring to pass what he purposed. Our prayer must match the Lord's purpose and will. Our prayers must be within God's purpose and will. Two, you know, our prayers must be specific. You know, Joshua asked specifically for the sun and moon to stop. He didn't just pray that God will grant victory, you know, that God will grant us strength. I think quite often our prayers can be generic. We are cautious in our prayers. Perhaps we are cautious because we lack faith. What if God doesn't answer? So as we pray, our prayers become a little more cautious. Like, you know, like, God, bless us with good health. You know, what exactly do we want? You know, bless us with a good day ahead. Let us have a blessed Sunday. You know, and then that's it. But we don't ask specific things. We seldom dare to ask specific things, and we seldom dare to ask boldly. So here, what we can learn from Joshua's prayer is to be specific. And I think third is Joshua asked big. You know, he asked big, really, really big. Ask for what we usually think is impossible. Joshua asked for the sun and the moon to be stopped. You know, can it go any bigger? You know, he had no prior experience that God can or will do this. You know, Moses never asked for something like that. But Joshua somehow thought it possible to ask for the impossible. He thought it possible to ask for the impossible. How amazing it is. You know, for you, maybe it is a job opportunity, or maybe a spouse. Maybe the impossible for you is to have a child, to have a house somewhere, to be able to go home and be with your family. In this time of pandemic, perhaps that is also a luxury. But ask within God's will and purpose, be specific, and ask big. You know, we tend to look at the miracles, you know, and then we are in awe of God's power. And I think that is right. But shouldn't we be equally amazed and encouraged by extraordinary prayers and faith of the people? You know, if you consider Hannah, you know, Samuel's mother, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, he prayed to the Lord she prayed, weeping bitterly, and made a vow asking for a son whom she will dedicate to the Lord. God answered. Consider Jabez, whose prayer we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be on me, with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. God granted what he asked. Consider the leper who came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus touched him, saying, I will be clean. How about the centurion whose servant was sick and at the point of death? The centurion went to Jesus with such faith. Say the word and let my servant be healed. Jesus was amazed. He marveled at him and said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. How often do we pray with such faith and trust in the Lord? How often do we pray with such faith and trust in the Lord? When was the last time you prayed in faith, believing that God will act on his promise? When was the last time you prayed extraordinary prayers in faith, believing that God will act? You know, church, we must trust God in battles for his purpose. We must trust God that he fights on our behalf for his purpose. We need to trust him and know that he can, he will respond to extraordinary prayers of faith for his purpose. Now, God might not answer immediately like how he answered Joshua, but God will answer in his time according to his will. Lord, if you will, you can. You know, dare we pray like that. Lord, if you will, you can. Will we dare to pray like this? If the church, you know, will you go to God and ask him, God, the church needs a CG leader. Will you empower me? And then you tell God, Lord, if you will, you can. The church needs a deacon, a pastor. You have the opportunity to rise up and be one. Will you go to the Lord and ask and pray? Lord, if you will, you can. Now, I started with sharing on my experience during National Service, how God answered in extraordinary manner for me. You know, in my prayer to the Lord, my request then was that God would take me out from the role where I had duties almost every weekend. It's either a Saturday or a Sunday. So I told God, I really wanted to go back to church. Any available Sunday, I would take me out of this situation. Any available Sunday, I would be in church. It's not exactly a godly prayer, you know. And perhaps to some of you, it's not a godly purpose. It's almost like a bargaining with God. And I told God, take me out and I'll be in church every available Sunday. It took a few months of praying. I prayed for a few months. And looking back, I think it revealed to me that God had his purpose for me during that time. Because when I was eventually taken out of that situation, I was still in a position where I had weekend duties. It was either a Saturday or a Sunday. But somehow, God intervened. He allowed me to be able to communicate with my fellow soldiers, the people in my company, to the extent where I could do my duties almost always on Saturdays. It was an overnight duty. So I would be in camp all the way until Sunday morning, and then I'll rush down to church. Half the time when I was in church, because of the night duty, I'll be falling asleep. But I really tried my best to keep to my promise to the Lord. And I managed to come to church every Sunday. The impossible became possible. The impossible became possible. The Lord will, I think it is the Lord's will that I should go through certain things so that I can be set apart for him. If I had not gone through what I went through, in the past, whether in school or during national service, I don't think I'll be here today. I don't think I would have been able to be set apart to serve in this capacity. Things could have easily gone wrong. Now, church, there are battles in our lives where we must pray in faith. We must ask boldly for God to act. And we must ask specifically for God to do what we think, what we usually think is impossible. Now, in this pandemic, you know, we have been praying for safety, for good health, for wisdom upon the leaders. You know, we pray for the end of the pandemic. You know, I think it's good, it's correct. But perhaps we should be praying also that God's word will be made known. I think that's God's purpose for the church, whether in the midst of this pandemic, pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, even when Singapore becomes endemic, God's purpose for the church will remain the same. We are to make his name known. We are to bring forth his gospel to the world. So we can pray even now that as the church goes online, as the church takes on more of a virtual presence, you know, pray that people will find comfort in God's word. The people will seek his presence. You know, pray that the seekers will come for Alpha. You know, that they will know the Lord, they will accept him as Lord and Savior, that they will join us, online service, physical service. You know, pray. Pray for the impossible, for the friend whom you think will not come to church, for your parents whom you think will not know the gospel. You know, my parents are still unbelievers, and I still find it hard to talk to them about it. And I think I also need to learn to pray the impossible, to speak and pray for them, to share with them. So pray, trusting in the character of God, in who God is. Pray and know that the Lord is the one who will fight the battles on our behalf for his purpose. Pray because he can and he will respond to our extraordinary prayers of faith for his purpose, for his glory. Joshua chapter 10, verse 14. There has been no day like it before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Now the Lord heeded Joshua's prayer because it was within his purpose and will, and because the Lord wants to fight for Israel. The Lord will fight for you. There has been no day like it before or since. It is an extraordinary prayer that impacted Israel. You know, church, what are the battles in your life now where you need to pray in faith? What are the battles in your life now where you need to pray in faith? Pray specifically. Ask for what you think is impossible. But know that what we ask has to be within God's will and purpose. And may you be encouraged today, knowing that the battle, whatever battle you are fighting right now, that the battle belongs to the Lord. He will grant us the victory according to his will and purpose. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we thank you for you stopped the sun and the moon for Joshua and for Israel. We give thanks for this historical narrative that assures us, that encourages us for our own battles. And I pray for our church this morning that we will learn to pray boldly, to pray specifically for your will and purpose for this church, and that we will begin to pray and ask for the impossible, because Lord, you are possible. I pray for the young men and women in the church, the Lord, they will be able to step forth in service for you. I pray that the children will know you and speak of you at home and at school. I pray that we become honest, humble disciples at your feet, pray, Lord, that we will listen to you, we will hear your word, and we will act on your word. Lord, lead us into the battles. Lead us, Lord, for your purpose and your glory. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.